call for Samson that he may make up for. So out of the prison house they brought him, led by a lad, because Israel's enemies had bored out his eyes. He stands in his darkness between the two pillars of Dagon's temple. The sounds of laughter and derision fill that place, and the sound is deafening. The lad lifts the hands of Israel's blinded judge and places them on each of the two pillars. Then Samson speaks, but his words cannot be heard above the roar of 3,000 Philistines making sport of Samson. But even if they could have heard him, they wouldn't have been interested anyway in what he had to say. They wouldn't be interested, because the words which came from the lips of Samson were not words of protest, but they were words of prayer. And there was only one who was interested in what Samson was saying, and that one was the only one who mattered, for Samson was praying to the Lord God of Israel. His words did not reach the ears of the lords of the Philistines, but his words did reach the ears of the Lord of heaven. It was such a tremendous prayer that the Holy Spirit has recorded it for us. It is the prayer of a desperate man. It is the prayer of a defeated man. It is the prayer of a dying man. But at the same time, it is the prayer of a defiant man. This was his prayer. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. They want us to consider the words of Samson in this prayer, for they came from the lips of a man who over a period of time had gotten away from the Lord. And now he prays almost with his dying breath to be restored to fellowship with God again. I want us first of all to consider Samson and his predicament. I believe our hearts will go out to Samson as we see him standing there in his blindness, the focus of unrestrained derision and ridicule. But we must ask the question, how did he come to be there? How did he fall into the hands of his great enemy, and indeed the enemy of the nation of Israel, namely the Philistines? I want us first of all to consider the cause of Samson. Over the 20 years of his reign, Samson, as we have said, had slipped away from the Lord. Many ways he was like Peter for a period of time. He was following the Lord afar off. And when we look at the early life of Samson, We can see just how far he had drifted from God. That's always a good gauge, a good way to discover our own present state and where we are with God. How does our stand now, our position now, compare with what it was when we first started out with the Lord? Can we say that we have gone forward? Or do we say we're still at a standstill? Or have we even gone back? We compare Samson's early years with his latter days. There's quite a contrast. We see that in Samson's early days, Samson was favored. If ever a man was favored by the Lord, it was Samson. He was favored by the Lord in his early days in a number of ways. One, God had a plan for Samson. Chapter 13, verse 5. And lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God had a plan for Israel, and Samson was part of that plan. Samson was to be Israel's deliverer. And that was the plan that God had for Samson. My, you wouldn't have thought it. As you behold him standing there in the temple of Dagon with his eyes bored out, being derided and laughed at and scorned. Where was God's plan now in Samson's life? Dear child of God, we may ask ourselves that question also. Where am I in relation to God's plan? Where am I now? Where do I stand at this moment in relation to God's plan for my life? Because God has a plan for every one of us. He was favored because God had a plan for Samson. He was favored because of his godly parents. Samson had godly parents. Chapter 12 of Judges 13. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? Manoah, the father of Samson, prayed and asked for guidance and said of the Lord, how shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? I tell you, that child is favored indeed who has godly parents who pray for them and ask the Lord to guide them through life. Couldn't ask for a better guide. Couldn't ask for better parents. I say that again. You couldn't ask for better parents. And parents who pray for their children. Though how the parents of Samson would have been grieved if they had seen him standing there in that court of 3,000 Philistines and being mocked and laughed at, had fallen into the hands of his and the nation's enemies. He who had, even before he was born, he who was cradled in prayer. Look at him now. Many are like that. They've been cradled in prayer And if we were to go out and look for them today, we would find them in the hands of the enemy. Favored in another way. He was favored with God's power. We see that in his early days, Samson experienced the power of God in his life. Look at again at chapter 13, this time verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. The wonderful testimony. The Lord blessed him. Isn't that what we look for? The blessing of God upon our children. Isn't that what we look for? The blessing of God upon ourselves. The Lord blessed him. Verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zora and Eshtaol. Look at chapter 14. There we read in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done the day he rent the lion. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Chapter 14, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil once more. The Spirit of the Lord was mightily upon him. Chapter 15 and verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off his hands. And the bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. He couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it if the hand of the Lord had not have been upon him. Indeed, if the Spirit of the Lord had not been upon him. See that Samson was greatly favored. He was a man who enjoyed in his life the Spirit, yea, the power of God upon him. And dear child of God, that is what we all desire. We all look for that. We all crave the power of God. But Samson had the power of God. There he stands in the temple of Dagon. No power, no strength. He stands there and he begins to pray. And he prays again for that power. And he prays again for that strength. Dear child of God, if we have lost the power, then we need to start praying. Lord, give me back the power. Something else. I noticed that not only was Samson favored, Samson was a very fleshly man. When Abimelech went up against the city of three bears, all the men and women took refuge, we're told, in a strong tower within the city. Abimelech sought to take that city and that tower. And so he decided to go up against that tower and burn it to the ground, and burn every man, woman, and child that had taken refuge in that tower. And as Abimelech draws near to the doors of that tower, there's a woman standing up above him. And she has in her hands a piece of a millstone. And we read this. A certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. He wasn't killed outright, badly wounded. He turns and he calls for his armor bearer. We're told he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, "Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew me." And this young man thrust him through, and he died. Judges 9, verses 50 to 54. He didn't want it to be said that a woman slew him. He would rather have his armor bearer running through with a sword. He would rather have it said that his own armor bearer had slain him with a sword. He didn't want it to be said, a woman slew him. A woman slew him. Unfortunately, he could say of Samson, a woman slew him. Unfortunately, we could say of many in this world today, a woman slew him. So it was with Samson, because Samson on a number of occasions succumbed to temptations of the flesh. As we can see from chapter 14, verse 1, and chapter 16, verse 1, and chapter 16, verse 4, and Delilah was his undoing. So he looks to the Lord in prayer in verse 28. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes. Samson was favored. Samson was fleshly. Samson was foolish. That's how he came to be in the house of Dagon. Even though he had been favored, he had been fleshly and foolish. You see how foolish Samson was? Because we see that Samson gambled. Samson was a great gambler. He gambled with Delilah. Delilah wanted to know the secret of his strength. And he kept telling her lies. And said, if you do this and do that, then you'll discover the secret of my strength. And all the while, he was gambling with the secret of his strength. And every riddle that he put forth, he got nearer and nearer the truth. He got nearer and nearer to revealing the secret of his strength and him until finally he did. Chapter 16, verse 7. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 17. And he told her all his heart. And said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. Use those words again. And I shall become weak and be like any other man. In other words, something new. The price he would pay if he revealed his secret. He knew it. If he opened his heart to Delilah, he knew what the consequences would be. He would lose his strength. He would lose his power. He gambled. Every man that gambles is a fool. A gambler is never a winner. And Samson gambled, and the stakes were high, and the odds were stacked against him. But still he gambled, and he lost. And what a loss. He lost his power. He was aware of the consequences. Just like as you and I are aware, we open our hearts to the world. We're aware of the consequences. We know that we shall become like other men. We'll just be like the men of the world. We'll lose it. We'll lose our power. We'll lose our strength. We'll lose our witness. Not only do we have the cause of Samson's trouble, but we also have the cost. Samson paid dearly for his foolishness. We see Samson standing in the house of Dagon. We see also the price he paid for his folly. First of all, it cost him his strength. As he lay sleeping in the lap of Delilah, a man came, and we're told, verse 19, shaved off the 7 locks of his head, and strength went from him. No sooner had those Nazarite locks of hair fallen to the ground than Samson lost his strength. The strength with which he had before accomplished so much for God. Remember, when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he slew 30 Philistines, and then he went out and slew 1,000. That strength. It's interesting that the word strength that's used here in our text is the word power. He lost his power. He not only lost his physical strength, he lost his spiritual power. And how many of God's people have, in opening their hearts to the world, lost their power? Listen to the words of the psalmist. My strength, same words. My power faileth because of mine iniquity. Contrast this with Caleb. Turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. And there we read in verse 11, Joshua 14, verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength," and it's the same word, "as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Caleb was able to say, "As my power was then, even so is my power now." Caleb had lost his power. Caleb had lost his strength. Why? Because Caleb was a man who followed the Lord. Nothing came between Caleb and his Lord. He followed the Lord fully, and he, as a result, he never lost his power. What a lesson. What a lesson. Believer, let us not allow anything to come between us and the Lord. The day we do, we'll lose our power. He lost his strength and he lost his sensitivity. It happens, you know. People get away from God. They lose their sensitivity. They're not as sensitive to sin anymore. They're not as sensitive to the things of God. They're not as sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Come hard. And sadly, when Samson allowed for his hair to be shaved off, he lost his strength. But he didn't know. That's the sad part. The loss of strength, the loss of power, meant that the Lord had departed from him. And he didn't even know. So we read there in verse 20, "And she said," Delilah said, "the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He thought the Lord was still with him. He thought he still had the power to face the Philistines and overcome them. He lost his sensitivity. You know, he was no longer sensitive to the Lord. May we never lose that sensitivity, believer. When we can go to a meeting, and at the end of that meeting, we are able to say to one another, "The Lord was in this house today." A sense of presence. And equally so, may we be sensitive to the fact when the Lord withdraws from us, we are aware of it. We know when he has withdrawn from us. But for Samson, he didn't even know. It wasn't until the test came, it wasn't until the trial came, but then it was too late. Revelation chapter 3. We read in verse 15, Revelation 3, and verse 15 regarding the church at Laodicea. Verse 15, "I know thy works," there's the test. The Lord tests the church at Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou wert lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the problem for the church at Laodicea, they didn't even know it. They didn't even know. They thought they were rich. The Lord said, you're poor. They thought they were prosperous, spiritual, and on fire for God. All the while, they were lukewarm. They second God. And yet they thought they were in power. May we never lose our sensitivity. May we never lose our strength. If something else comes from loss as we stood there in that temple of Dagon, lost his sight. He lost his sight, verse 21 tells us, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. And the margin will tell you they bored out his eyes. The very thought of it would sicken him. There he stands without strength. There he stands without sight. He had lost his power. Next we notice Samson and his prayer. His sin, his folly, his waywardness had brought him to the place of desolation. There he stands between the two pillars in the house of Dagon. For Samson there was only one he could turn to in his desolation. We notice his return to prayer. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Samson was looking for a way back to God, and it started at the throne of grace. If anyone has got away from God, then that's where you must start, the throne of grace. Start to pray again. Interestingly, when you look at the life of Samson, as it's recorded here in the book of Judges, you'll discover that there are only two references to Samson praying. Just two. He judged Israel for 20 years, and yet we only read of Samson praying. Maybe that's where the problem lay. Maybe that's where it all started. He neglected the place of prayer. Look at the life of Lot. There is not one record in Scripture, in all the 66 books of the Bible, not one reference to Lot praying. Probably why he ended up in Sodom. It's probably why he followed the Lord away, away, far off. Peter was told by the Lord, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Instead, Peter slept and was soon following the Lord afar off. He neglected prayer. Samson didn't seem to pray much and was captured by the enemy. And on the two occasions that we read that Samson prayed, on the two occasions we read Samson prayed, he was in trouble. When he slew the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, he prayed to God in verse 18 of chapter 15,
And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. He was in trouble. He was dying of thirst. He started to pray. Here he is in the temple of Dagon. He's in trouble once more, and he begins to pray. And how often is that the case? We only pray when we're in trouble. His return to prayer, his requests in prayer. When Samson prayed, he asked for two things. One, to be remembered. For he prayed, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee. Certainly seemed as though Samson hadn't remembered the Lord when he fell under the influence of Delilah. And so he looks heavenward and he wonders, has the Lord remembered me? I have forgotten him. Has God forgotten me? Did the Lord leave him to the mercy of the barbarian Philistine? Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16 tells us, regarding Israel, they may have forgotten God, but the Lord says, I will never forget you. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. How can I forget you? Samson may have forgotten the Lord, but the Lord hadn't forgotten Samson. He didn't forget Lot. When he set up camp in Sodom, he remembered Lot when he came to destroy those cities. And he didn't forget Peter after Peter had denied him. Christ had a personal meeting with Peter after his resurrection. He asked to be remembered. And whenever someone gets away from God, and they, perhaps even for years, forget the Lord, know this, the Lord hasn't forgotten them. Their names are still in his hand. He asked to be remembered and he asked to be restored. He prayed, strengthen me, I pray thee. He had lost his strength, he had lost his power, and he wanted it to be restored. And the restoration of his strength would mean the restoration of Samson. And thank God, men and women who get away from God, they can be restored. There is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, to Calvary's cross is where we begin. We come sinners to Jesus. You have the reason for his prayer. He said, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. There's the reason for his prayer. He prayed, let me avenge the Philistines for my two eyes. Mark those three words. Only this once. Just this once. Let me confound the enemy. Only this once. Let me honor thy name in this place where a false god is honored. Let me, Lord, only was why he prayed. He wanted the Lord's name to be honored. Remember, he was representing God. As God's ruler and God's judge,
Would that not be a good enough reason for Samson to pray? The locust of sin had eaten years of his life. And believer, if the locust of sin has eaten years of our life, why not pray today? Lord, give me back my strength only. Give me another chance. Only this once. Give me an opportunity to serve Thee again. Only this once. Give me an opportunity to speak a word for Thee again. Only this once. And Samson and his. The Lord answered Samson's prayer and gave him back his power. You know what that speaks to me of? It speaks to me of the sympathy of the Lord. He saw his blind servant standing there in the temple of Dagon and heard his prayer, and the Lord was sympathetic to the cause of Samson. The Lord is sympathetic to the cause of the blind. When they come back, they will receive a sympathetic hearing. Notice the time. The Lord answered the prayer of Samson and promoted him. In verse 30, we're told, and Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. From the moment Samson prayed to the moment Samson died, I would believe would have been a very short period of time. He had only a short period of time in which to do something for God. We don't know it, believer, but you and I may only have a short period of time left in which to do something for God. Time's running out. You notice also not only the time but the triumph. When Samson entered the house of Dagon, he did so as a defeated man. But that house of defeat became for Samson a house of victory. Because he slew every one that was there, over 3,000. We read before he had slain 30, and he had slain 1,000, but in his death he slew 3,000. There's his triumph. Indeed, that place was the site of his greatest triumph. Not only because he had slain 3,000 Philistines, but because Jehovah had defeated them. For the real victory lay. Once again, the name of Jehovah was exalted. And his testimony. You read the great heroes of the faith. You read about their exploits in Hebrews 11. Samson's mentioned amongst them. That's the testimony he left behind. Dear child of God, may we leave behind a good testimony. And for any in the meeting who perhaps are not saved and don't know the God of heaven, well, we know where Samson is today. He was promoted to glory. But where will you be after death? Where will you be in eternity? You need to know Samson's God. Need to know Samson's Savior. Or you'll die not as Samson died, but you'll die as a Philistine died. Without God, without hope. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most Most gracious, loving Father and eternal God, we come again before Thee in the Savior's name. O Lord, we thank Thee that even as Thy Word has told us, these things are written for our learning. We thank Thee, Lord, for the many lessons that we have learned even today from the life and the times of folly of Samson. We thank Thee that Samson's God didn't forget him. Samson's God still remembered him and still loved him. And O gracious, loving Father, we pray that we will be rather like Caleb. We'll follow the Lord fully, so that our power will still be the same the day we die as it was when we first followed Thee. Write this word upon our hearts. Loving Father, take us now to our homes. Watch over us and bless us, and in Thy providence and will, return us, Lord, to the house of worship tonight. In our Savior's dear name we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.